Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
A mochi moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Ray! Do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock. Do the hammerlock, you turkey necks. Yeah, do the hammerlock. I do the hammerlock.
Everybody's doing it. Hello, friends. Welcome back to a little bit of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris, your host, your pal, wrestling art guru. Guru is such a weird word. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, but this is the podcast. This is the little old thing where I ramble on about my art, generally a fair bit about wrestling as well. So this week we had our latest wrestling club, that being the in-person events that I host at my favourite bar in the whole wide world, The Scratch, in Brisbane, Queensland. And I play a bunch of all sorts of my favourite eclectic weird wrestling. We have some people go along, we have some beers, and it's a nice time. And what I've started doing with this little podcast here is, incorporating some audio from the night that was, going through the playlist of what we happened to play and what we thought of all of the things. So I'll be being joined by Perfect Attendance Wrestling Club member Joe shortly to go over the playlist that was. But in the meantime, I thought we'd start things out by having my little what's going on in the world of Chris Things intro monologue. So I thought I'd get you caught up. It's been a hot minute since last week's episode did not come out due to technical difficulties. My apologies there. I'll have to remedy that in some fashion next week or something. We'll see how we go. The other big thing that happened since last week that I haven't been able to talk to you about till now is we've got a competition happening. Yeah, so we made it to our big 100th match of the week the other week. So that being the weekly illustration that I do and I post to my Instagram, Chris Things on Instagram, as well as christhings.com.au. My favourite match of the week, where I draw the match, and that's also part of this podcast, I guess. But yeah, so we got to the big 100th edition, 100 weeks of doing this illustration series, which is pretty wild. But now that I think about it, I'm pretty proud of that, of the consistency, of forcing myself to do that no matter what I got on, what holiday, what country I'm in, where I'm at. No matter what, every week I made sure that I was accountable to do this. So I'm proud of that. And I think looking back at 100 of these things, it's an interesting thing to see how my art sort of illustration has evolved over that time. An interesting thing to look at my wrestling tastes over that period, So I do try to keep this as honest as possible, and it's legitimately just like my favorite match that I happened to watch that week. So yeah, it's a fun little thing to look back at. But in honor of getting to the big 100th, I thought I needed to do something a little bit special. So I'm doing a giveaway competition. So that being the pick your favorite match of the week competition, so getting people to pick their favorite match or illustration of the series that I've done so far, pick your favorite of the big 100, and the winner will be drawing out of a hat this Friday, and. That being this Friday in Australia, by the way. So I believe that's Thursday, going to be probably like Thursday late night in America time. But yeah, so you pick your favorite one, or we'll pick the lucky winner out of a hat. And yeah, we'll see how we go. But thank you so much for all the entries that I've received so far. Much appreciated. It's always really nice, like, I guess with this competition, sort of getting to see the things that people like the most. And yeah, it was quite fascinating to me which ones had that sort of like staying power, I guess. But no, been lovely to see. So thank you so much, everybody. By the time this podcast goes up, people will still probably have a little hot minute to get any more entries in, if you'd like. If not, whatever, keep playing along at home. But no, it was a very nice thing to get to that benchmark, get to that big 100. It was cool to do. But yeah, I have no plans of stopping anytime soon. It's a really fun thing for me to do. It's nice to have something that forces you to create something new every week. That's the whole deal of this, and I feel like it's really, fast-forwarded my art career in doing so. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. Other than that, we had a fantastic Lucha Fantastica event in Brisbane the other week. That was just so nice at Eaton's Hill Hotel Ballroom, and it just made me so happy to get to have such a cool event in my hometown. I do still classify Brisbane as my hometown, even though I live up here in the hills of the Sunshine Coast these days. But I think the Lucha Fantastica thing is such a fun deal for me to be part of, and it's so my honor to get to have my art be a small part of this Lucha Fiesta, as it were. So thank you if anyone's listening, to anyone that happened to be there and buy something, or even just have a lovely little chat. Really had a good time. Other than that, I've been working away at a bunch more commission stuff that hopefully I'll be able to share with you in the near future. And also, the big exciting thing, I've just finished up an artwork submission for another Mexican group art show in Mexico City. So beyond honored to be part of that. Like I said, big thank you to Porta Veritas for getting me onto that. The Virgencitas Luchonas Mexican group art exhibition at the Pulque Museum. As a big fan of Pulque, I'm a big, very excited for that. But yeah, it's like the concept is like the Virgin Saint Luchadoras. So I got to have a lot of fun with such an interesting and specific concept. So yeah, stay tuned to all of my things for updates on that. And I might even give you a little bit of a snippet of that that artwork soon. Anyway, that's about us for now. If you'd like to support, christhings.com.au is the way to find us. But let's get ready for some wrestling club goodness. All right, over to Chris and team at the Scratch this past Sunday night. From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention? We'll
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a little bit of wrestling club. Thank you. So today we got another little special one. Today it's happened that today is Father's Day, and it's a Father's Day edition of Wrestling Club. So we may have some special father and son moments to look forward to tonight. I'm not sure. We'll see what we have. We will. I put the playlist together. So yeah, I actually had a lot of fun putting the playlist together this time. When you're trying to do something like that, like, you can kind of do some like creative stuff, and you know, I was really trying to get into the depths of you know, wrestling father and son kind of things. So hopefully there's some stuff tonight that you know, you all haven't seen before, or if you have, you'll get to lovingly watch again. But yeah, I hope we've got some weird eclectic stuff, like as always. Always, as again, we have the things here, the Chris Things Art. If you want to procure anything, please hit me up through the evening. I've got my pay square. But yeah, let's enjoy some wrestling together, everybody. Yay! Okay, ladies and gents, welcome back to our latest little thing we're doing, where we have a special wrestling club recap, where I am joined with our perfect attendance wrestling club member, Joe, to do a little bit of a debrief on the playlist. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Afternoon, Chris. How are you?
I am pretty good. Yep, it is our afternoon here in Australia. I'm sipping on a black coffee to keep myself alive and alert for the day. How are you going? King of the beverages.
Yeah.
Before we started recording, we did just touch on, it's probably a good time for me to let everyone else know that the last podcast I attempted to record with my dear pal David last week, managed to record the entire thing without any of his audio. So suffice to say that was the reason for our technical difficulties this past week. But let's hope for better this time, right?
Fingers crossed, touch wood, all the rest of it.
Yeah, it's like, am I cursing us by saying that?
Probably.
Anyway, we have a heck of a playlist to go over here. So before we hear from the much drunker versions of ourselves, of our favourite match of the night that was, I feel like we could run through our little old playlist here. Any memories, anything that comes to light, anything that we thought of it, but yeah, so this whole thing, I guess, was themed as our Father's Day edition of the wrestling club. This did happen to be Father's Day in Australia. Still weird to me that we have a different, like, complete different months and dates for that here compared to the other side of the world.
Do they? Is it not the same in America, North America?
As far as I'm aware, I feel like they just have a complete ass different one. Like, they just picked it off of a thing and it's very different. I may be wrong about that. I'm not sure. Right. Yeah, weird holidays. Well, none of these things are listed on the Chris Things calendar, which I do need to get cracking on for the 2026 edition. That just reminds me. But
yes,
so this was our Father's Day edition. I tried to put some semblance of a sort of like Father's Day theme in here with the playlist as a whole. Wrestling dads, I guess. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you. It's funny. I had no idea how long that would run. Like, that's one of those real kind of like tests for, like, I wasn't sure where it was going, like what sort of cultures we'd at, whether it would be more staying within like the American kind of like wrestling dynasties. But I was pretty impressed as a whole.
From the match he's already shown.
Yeah, man. Hey, like they said, shows they were paying attention, which
exactly.
I like to see. But yeah, it's funny, like, before we get into the list, I'm looking at it now, and you mentioned of like the quality of wrestling dads and whether they actually had a good relationship for the most part with their kid. And of the, I guess, three literal father and son combos that we had on the playlist here, I feel like one of them perhaps has had a good relationship with his kids. So one out of three ain't bad when it comes to wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, probably higher strike rate than normal, to be honest.
All right, but yeah, we started the night with not wrestling dad related whatsoever. I was so close to starting with the ballad of Dusty and Dustin, but I kind of thought, and it's sort of become a staple with our playlist of, you know, the last little while, of getting it going with a kick-ass Joshi match. Yeah, unfortunately there was no sort of like wrestling dad element to this, but I thought, hey, we're gonna get to that, so we can start with some kick-ass Joshi All Japan Women's. So it was a rad tag, Aja Kong and Bull Nakano, a terrifying duo there, against Akira Hokuto and Kyoko Inoue, four of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time, four of the greatest Joshi wrestlers, four of the greatest wrestlers, full stop. This was from All Japan Women's June 3rd, 1993. I feel like I recall you enjoyed this quite a bit.
Then doing a tag match probably makes it a bit easier for them, I don't know. But then it's also the story they tell, having these great finishes, which are really iconic, being countered, and then the counter itself being countered, creates a really fun spectacle to watch as a viewer. And it's funny, I was thinking about, I think one of the things I admire so much about Joshi is, you know, we watch these matches, and we're watching obviously with the Japanese commentary. So the wrestlers have no help, if you like, for me as an audience member. They're not, there's anything that the announcers are saying, I'm not getting any of the storyline that's being put over. I'm not getting any of that added context. I'm just getting and reacting purely to what I'm seeing. And yet it's still such a clear and fantastic story to watch. So I really can't speak highly enough about it.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we're back. we officially cursed us earlier on, but knock on wood that, you know, we're okay for here on out. But I believe just coming back there, I was reacting to what you mentioned about just how much you dug the match, and for me, like how visually distinctive like everyone was in this, and how just immediately you can look at any four of these women and just feel like you totally can just sum up their vibe at a glance, and I think that's so perfect for professional wrestling in that way. And it really, I feel like, made this work so well And also, like, to what you said before is, you know, about how fast a clip they were wrestling at. Like, this felt, didn't feel like it went for very long, but I think in reality this was, like, over a 20-minute match, maybe 25.
Really?
So one of the longest Joshi ones I'd played as well.
No.
Well, no, that surprised me. I would have said 15 minutes maybe, if I had to guess.
Yeah. So really, really went, just blew by, maybe a tad under 20. I can't remember exactly, but it was, I remember it was long enough to where when I was putting the playlist together, I was like, ooh, we got quite a few decent length matches in here. So it wasn't just an all short matches kind of evening. The other thing for this one, I'm not sure if you noticed, but, the main version of this match that I found that was in the higher quality actually had the entrances cut off, which I'm always quite sad about. So I had to find a really quite questionable quality version of it so I could make sure to include those incredible entrances as well.
Oh, yeah. So, and Hokuto are the same in many ways. So it just makes it such an enjoyable match to watch. If you're a layman, but if you love your wrestling, then you also just, you know, I think it's really special.
Yeah, I was happy with my decision in hindsight to start it out hot with the great Joshi wrestling. I feel like it always sets us up for a successful wrestling club evening.
Last match are the two hottest matches, so you can just, and you can always almost swap them. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was happy about that. And also, you know, it always brings me a lot of joy for, you know, the Scratch regulars or whoever's there to be like, what's this wrestling club then? And then just this incredible early 90s Japanese women's wrestling.
I don't see that level of match in women's wrestling, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm hoping there were a few blokes that went home to their wife after the Scratch, you know, seeing a little bit of wrestling club. I'm like, oh, there's some wrestling on, and these bloody Japanese ladies, they really go hard, hey? Oh, incredible.
And the fact that, like all Joshi matches, they just bash the ever-loving shit out of each other. And I don't know how these women, some of them like Aja Kong, still occasionally wrestling here and there.
She's still wrestling like a pretty hectic schedule. Like, not even occasionally. She's like, I'd have to look at her cage match listing, but I feel like she's definitely at least wrestling a handful of matches a month.
Crazy for someone with that many miles in so many hard hitting matches to be able to still do it.
Of these four, I think Kyoko Noe is still wrestling as well. But Bull Nakano and Hokuto, the two that have hung it up since then. Right.
Go there, spoke a bit of English. It's like, no, this woman is a maniac.
Yeah, flashback to her just being an absolute demon.
Yeah.
Man. All right, so after that one, we did get into the straight-up Father's Day stuff, and I thought I had to start it out with This was probably the one I put the most work into in terms of, like, ganging up, like, all those incredible promos and the build-up to this match. But so that being Dusty and Dustin reuniting, I think the first time in WCW, at least, teaming as father and son against the dastardly stud stable of Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck. This one took place at Clash at the Champions 28 on August 24th, 1994 in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And yeah, man, I feel like just going through these promos, this is a big call, but I feel like these are both the greatest promo I've ever heard Dustin Rhodes cut, and I think I'll even say that for Dusty as well. This is just some magical stuff, and dude, just the whole story of them coming back together, and then of course it being against none other than Dusty's longtime nemesis, that egg-sucking dog, Terry Funk. Dude, I had so much love for this, and getting to watch it together with everybody, it just made me so, so happy.
It was enjoyed by everyone. I mean, this might have been, when we put these together with, we talked about them last time with all the Piper Buzz Sawyer promos, might be the greatest collection of promos we've had in a wrestling club single night, maybe. We could debate that, but like,
I think you might be right.
But it's also not surprising, right? Because you've got Terry Funk, an incredible promo, going up against Dusty. And Dusty, a few of us said it there on the night, if Dusty wasn't a professional wrestler, he had to have been some kind of Baptist preacher of a mega church somewhere in the South, because it's just that same rhythm and dynamism that he's sort of obviously got some plan of what he's going to say, but also when he hits on something, he's like a great comedian riffing almost, and he hits on a vein and he just repeats that vein. Like, what was the one in one of these promos? Like, when you walk behind, you're always a walk behind her.
The view never changes on
that's
Anderson.
Right. Oh.
On Anderson.
I've never heard Arn Anderson's name pronounced that way. Anderson, just put that extra bit of southern sauce on everything he says. And it is stuff like this where you're like, again, we've said it before, like Dusty, to an outsider, you might be surprised that this guy's a legend of professional wrestling. Like, people think it's, you know, Hulk Hogan and all this type of thing, but you only have to watch one of these promos and you get it immediately. Like, this is why this is. Not, it's not the only reason, obviously, but this is one of the core reasons why this guy is an absolute legend.
Like, he commands a room like no one else. And it's like, one of my favorite things that I noticed, like, during this was, like, even, like, when playing it at the scratch, it's like, you know, a lot of people there clearly, like, there for whatever. I felt like when Dusty was talking, there did become, like, a bit of a hush over the room, everyone to just listen to this strange middle-aged bulbous man, just oh man, electricity just coming out of his very being. It's incredible.
Yeah, you know, as you say, yeah, this man, bleach blonde, his ramen noodle hair and his cut up forehead and his double denim and just everything about him, fantastic. And then the match was good as well.
Yeah dude, it's almost like with the incredible promos, the match can be a bit of an afterthought, but like I mean, in a way that this match is still kind of like a build in and of itself to the big war games match that is to come between Dusty and Dustin teaming up with the Nasty Boys against the whole stud stable, which to me, one of the greatest war games matches of all time. But I mean, in and of itself, this match itself was like a really great piece of business. I really enjoyed it. You had Dusty just you know, commanding the room and looking just absolutely incredible. Like some really good you know, like work by Bunkhouse Buck and Terry Funk, and just sort of like looking like these dirty assholes. Like, and I just thought the whole thing was like really fun. Like, you got the best of, I felt, everybody concerned. I really love, like, the more I watch him as I get older, Bunkhouse Buck, just such an underrated worker. And the end of this being the big thing with Dusty and Meng. I thought this whole thing, and like the crowd, absolutely insane as well. Like, this really showed that even after Hogan and crew come in, but before the NWO comes about, there was some absolute magic about WCW during this time.
Yeah, it's interesting, both this and that New Generation era and what was then WWF. It sort of gets shit on a lot because of all the endless parade of, you know, docos about Attitude and the NWO and all that type of stuff. It just kind of, I think, as naturally happens, you always want to say, oh, you know, it was all crap and then this came along and it changed everything. But in both cases, there's a huge amount of good stuff occurring. It's just probably that the branding is not as united as what it becomes, right, in the Attitude era and in the Nitro NWO stuff. But, yeah, Bunkhouse Buck, you know, big dude, moves around really, really well, gets up, is not a slow man at all. And this is that period of time too where Dustin, you forget how big he is, I think because of the different characters he played, but especially in this period, he's a lot thicker, but he's a big dude. And you see him standing next to Dusty, and he's clearly got a few inches in height on Dusty.
And he could move like a madman as well. Like, in his comeback in this, he was just flying all about with those, like, leaping, like, clotheslines and, you know, the big bulldog and everything. Like, he could really go.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of movement in the match, which is very fun. And then you've got Terry Funk doing his Terryisms with the ropes.
Oh, we definitely got the Terry shtick. That made me so happy.
Hanging by his feet. Can't get up. Boy, what a legend as well. So I know it always makes you happy.
Can I ask, of the promos, now this might be a bit of a divisive question. So we got the big one, that's the famous one, the View Never Changes promo, where they have the big reuniting moment and, you know, Dusty's asking if he can be Dustin's partner after, you know, Arn Anderson screwed him over. And they had the big thing and the hug at the end, you know, that honestly, that promo, like, I couldn't barely watch it without shedding a tear. It's that beautiful. But then the one that I feel doesn't get quite as much love that I made sure to include is that one from WCW Saturday Night before the Clash, where Dusty and Dustin are together talking to Mean Gene, both just like talking at the camera, talking at the stud stable, telling everybody at home what they got to come to expect this coming week at the Clash. And man, that is an absolutely incredible promo to me as well. Like, again, like the fire in it, giving me goosebumps to watch. Both some magical stuff from both guys. So can I ask, of the two, which was your favorite?
It is the View Never Changes one. I think because the View Never Changes, like, it is. But I mean, I take nothing away from the other one either. They're both incredible. But the View Never Changes one, that's where that Baptist preacher sort of vibe comes out in Dusty. Like, you feel like there's a great Instagram account, side note, called Pastors with Props, and it's just a bunch of mega church pastors, and it's all feels like it should be in Righteous Gemstones, except it's too ridiculous. And it's similar stuff, except they've usually got some kind of prop with them, and it's just saying stuff that sort of makes sense, but also the more you unpack it, it doesn't. And it's just that delivery, that sort of orator that Dusty is. It's pretty incredible. I don't know how you beat it.
Oh, man. He is just... there's a reason why, you know, people say Dusty, greatest promo of all time. And when you watch some of this stuff, it's hard to deny it. But, yeah, something really wonderful about this era of him being, like, the old man Dusty, you know, like, the amount of times that he said the big old butt, spindly-legged old man. but he's going to do his best. And there's something, like, you know, about that aging gunslinger thing that I'm so mad about. Makes me so happy to see. There's so much wonderful different eras of Dusty, but this is a particularly special one to me, I'd say. But then we jump over to a completely different lucha, the world of Lucha Libre. We've got CMLL Arena Mexico. This match took place on the 23rd of September 2022. A match that I was one of my favorite matches from CMLL of that year. And it was father and son, so Blue Panther teaming with his son Dark Panther against the father and son duo of Pantherita del Ring, who was formerly Hefesto, I believe, of part of the team of Hefesto, Mephisto, and Averno. But as his original character, or at least his one that he had prior to that, that he then brought back, Pantherita del Ring, and his son, Pantherita del Ring Jr., also known as the current version of Máscara Dorada. And this match, I thought, I remember it being really great, but then re-watching it, I forgot how long it went. I stand by playing it because I thought this is such a beautiful father and son match, and I thought it told such a wonderful story.
Yeah, amazing match. And again, Father's Day, and there's something so sweet about seeing Blue Panther with, obviously he doesn't have his mask on at this point in his career. Again, like talking about older men, aged gunslingers, this guy who looks like sort of, could just be sort of an older Mexican dude you run into in Mexico City, but no, it's Blue Panther looking a million bucks, having a great match. Yeah, really enjoyed this. 2 out of 3 falls, of course. And
classic.
Yep. So it's all there. The when we get the view from the camera from the top, looking down at the mat, and it's just a gigantic 3D printed ad for car batteries and some other car parts, which is so funny, because if this was like, if AEW WWE did it, I'd kind of be weirdly annoyed. I'd be like, oh, come on. But there's something charming about it in CMLL when they do it. I'm like, oh, okay, there you go. I never knew that brand existed, let alone could sponsor a whole mat graphic. But
it's so good. I love it. Like, and it also harkens back to what I've spoken to some of my friends in Mexico about, kind of what makes some things like a Mexican aesthetic, like if you're talking about like art or you know, like advertising or whatever, anything that's like visual graphic kind of wise. And one thing that they mentioned that really stayed with me was like, it's very Mexican. You don't leave any space unused, you know, like in sort of Western design concepts, and a lot of what I learned in graphic design school, it's like the importance of rest space, giving things room to breathe, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was catching up, and it might have been when I was talking with Eric Jam, actually, and he said, like, it's very Mexican to just not waste any space. And that so flows over to this, like that every bit of Arena Mexico on the ringside area has some sort of advertising graphic on it, and I kind of love it.
Yeah, no, I love it too. And then the other thing, of course, is the timing of this. We've got a ref wearing a sparkly COVID mask. So which is a little reminder of the times we're living in then. But I really enjoyed this match a lot. And Blue Panther, speaking of people still doing it, still having great matches, somehow defying age.
I mean, looking back, I feel like this was really kind of like part of him getting that ascension to just becoming the, you know, I mean, he was still obviously very much beloved here, but it feels like it's gone to an absolute next stratosphere like more recently, especially like this year. And so it's interesting to see like it gone from there to now. He's just gone from strength to strength. I hope it just lasts forever.
Yeah, that's a good conversation piece. And like, I'll be very clear before I say this, these are two very different people, very different wrestlers, but it does feel like in wrestling, if you just stay around long enough, you will become beloved. You know, if you just keep at it. And Blue Panther's different because of like just how good Blue Panther is. But like there's currently something going on like that with John Cena, where, I mean, famously a divisive wrestler with half the crowd saying that, you know, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. All the criticisms of John Cena out there. But now that's his final year, suddenly people are having legit conversations. It's like, is he one of the best to ever wrestle in WWE? And I just feel like I'm losing my marbles. Like,
I know, it's such a ridiculous thing for me, but also just hilarious that you take that of like this period where everyone wants to kind of have that fun nostalgia. It's like, you know what we should do? How about we turn this guy heel? No one will expect it. So yeah, no one expects it because it's the dumbest thing you possibly could have done.
Again, I don't want to digress into WWE bashing, but it is that weird thing where now we're all talking about this guy like he is the second coming of Ricky Steamboat or something like this. And you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, and thing is, I like John Cena as a dude. Like, I see him in Peacemaker and other things. Like, I like him as a person, but I struggle to watch his matches even now, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a very much a thing in wrestling where, yeah, you have so many of these characters, they get to a certain age and they just become so beloved that even if they are, you know, like long-time heels, people just want to cheer them. Mm-hmm. You know, like the amount of times that, you know, Terry Funk or Ric Flair, like in their older age, they're like, clearly they really want to be a heel.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone just loves them so darn much that they're not going to let them get away with it, and it just feels like they're swimming upstream to try to still get that like heel reaction because everyone just like wants to give them their flowers and love them so much.
Wonder why people even like why they don't just accept that that's what's going to happen. You know, like I even saw an interview this week with Bryan Danielson talking about that in his final sort of year of active wrestling with AEW. Like he wanted to be more of a heel. And he talked about loving to work heel, but that the crowd just really wasn't into it. And it's like, yeah, of course they're not, because they really like you and they know you're going away, so they don't really want to. We all know what's going on here. We want to celebrate you. So, in that respect, I get it. But then, you know, miss me with the conversations about the greatness of John Cena, I guess is what I'm saying.
But yeah, hopefully no one on God's green earth needs to be convinced of the greatness of Blue Panther. Because you watch him in any second of this and you're just like, yep, I get it. This old man bloody rocks.
Put him in a ring with Cody Rhodes. Have him take the spot. I love Cody Rhodes. Now we're talking.
Oh, but I think the really fun thing about this that I forgot about, you know, before rewatching it at Wrestling Club here was how much of a funny, like, dynamic it was that they had both of the dads wanting to be supportive of the other son. And that went through the match. There was a point where, remember when Blue Panther was just so stoked about Panterita Del Ring Jr. that he was like, good job, man, good job. And then his son's like, hey, man, I'm your son. Then, you know, by the end, we got the big double count out, and then each dad's trying to help the other guy, the other son into the ring, and then by the end, they're finished. Everyone's giving them a standing ovation for the draw, which was quite a wonderful finish as well. Like, a lot of the time you get the draws and people, like, booing or whatever because they want, you know, 5 more minutes or whatever the dumb chant is. But everyone was just, like, so happy with what they got. It's like, in that crowd, it felt like no one was asking for it to go longer. Everyone just thought it was great. These old men are like having the other guy's son up on their shoulders, just celebrating around the ring. And I just thought there was such a wholesome, wonderful moment to finish on.
Perfect for Father's Day.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And harkening back to what I said before, this is the one where I feel like, I gotta believe Blue Panther's a good dad. You know, like of the three, I know obviously Dustin has mentioned his times, which is the whole thing about the promo of his issues with Dusty and him, as Dusty said himself, him, what was his word? He abandoned him kind of thing.
Mm.
But yeah, and then our other wrestling dad that we have to get to. Fritz, probably not winning any Father of the Year award. And of the three, I feel like this is the one where Lucas has got to be a great dad, right?
Well, he's also multiple sons have gone into wrestling now. So, and so there must be something there.
Yeah, he hooked them all up.
Yeah.
We've got both an Hijo del Blue Panther and a Blue Panther Jr. and a Dark Panther, so.
All I can say is, Lord help us if in about 25 years they make the Blue Claw and it's all about what a terrible father Blue Panther was. And we're like, oh no, what have we done? We've been lied to.
I refuse to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
But yeah, so now we go fast forward into the part where on from our last podcast, it's hard to not absolutely adore those lead up promos with Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer and Roddy Piper leading up to the incredible dog collar chain match from the Omni August 14th, 1983 that we spoke about last time. But man, watching those promos all together at the scratch was so much fun. And hearing everyone react to them and do that. So pat on the back for you, man. That was an excellent idea.
Oh, well, no, my pleasure. Thank you for letting me watch them all again. And as you say, like it did add something to it, just watching everyone's reaction to the Buzz Sawyer doing his neck bridges in his tight jeans.
I cannot believe the gooch did not tear on those jeans, might I say.
Right at the camera. We would have seen everything. He passed directed point, which is weird too, right? Because he's doing neck bridges. Shouldn't you be doing them the other way, facing the camera, so we can all see this neck? You know, like,
well, I think we ended up getting both. We got like balls to the camera to start, and then he like went around and did it the other way afterwards. So we got best of both worlds there.
Both buzzes.
But I mean, especially what you said last time as well, the great pop we got when like the random people walking by the Roddy Piper promo.
Yep. And they all in one take. Then he busts the beer bottle on his head, and then the little dog that's wearing a little bandana to mock Buzz Sawyer is fantastic. And it's just sitting in the back of his pickup truck, this poor little Italian greyhound or whatever it is, scared out of its mind.
Oh my gosh, there was so much to love about all of this, and it just felt like a fever dream watching it all together. And yeah, I think I also have a newfound respect for how amazing Precious Paul Ellering is.
Mm.
Just what a great heel manager, and just everything about this. Gordon Solie, oh, I cannot say enough good things about both the lead up to this and also obviously the magic matches we were raving about last time.
And again, I think that was something everyone enjoyed. Not many people have seen a dog collar match, and good to see one with those two, and to see such a great one is really cool.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure to get to share this absolute greatness with everybody. Maybe so happy. And so after that, we cut over to a tremendous Harley Race promo that I came across that I thought just did such a great job of capturing the sort of sincere, dry, like, just there's no one quite like Harley Race. And just that promo where he wasn't even raising his voice, he was talking so quietly, so earnestly to the camera about why he is the best wrestler in the world, and he's got the belt to show it, and he's, you know, prove that against everyone. Like, it was sort of like a promo that just works against whoever he happens to be wrestling coming up. But I just, did you catch much of this on the night?
Yeah, I saw it. It's interesting though, isn't it? It's like Harley Race's whole thing is very much like believability. Like, you are supposed to believe that this is the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And that's what the promo is trying to get across, you know. And, you know, for his time too, like we see a lot now, but he's got the tattoos on his arms and that, which is pretty unusual for wrestlers or athletes at that time. He just looks like a hard man. And
man, just the whole body as well. Mm-hmm. I said someone on the night, I'm like, I want my wrestlers to look like Harley Race, just stocky, big belly. Just looks like he will clean up anybody in that bar.
Yeah,
he that is a bloody man right there.
Yep. That's a great look, and then a great match.
Yeah, so we then jump over to St. Louis Wrestling, May 27th, 1979, for one of my favorite overall segments, angle, match that I've ever seen from the St. Louis territory. Remember, I originally saw this on it was sort of like a best of St. Louis Wrestling set, and I remember when I watched this just like, it really stayed with me how just a well done thing this was of like getting over David Von Erich as like a top level babyface. Like you could do this angle exactly the way they did it today, and I feel like it would make a guy like a young dude into being a main event title challenger. Because the way they set it up, we have name of this incredible commentators escaping me for the moment, but the classic St. Louis wrestling commentator mentioning how Harley himself has been the one who put out the challenge. He wants to take on both Fritz and David at the same night. We're going to do one after the other. It's got a 30-minute time limit. We get one, and then if they can't, if they don't get the win over Harley, he has to beat both of them in succession. So we basically set it up like he's going to dispatch with one, then he's going to get to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole thing of the match is that he ends up going with David first, and then David just shocking the world, actually beating Harley Race within like, I think it was like 15 minutes, in such a divisive, like a strong, clean manner, and basically making himself into a legit NWA World Heavyweight Championship contender all in one moment. And of course we have Fritz as the proud dad through all of this. I just thought this whole thing is so great. Like maybe a bit of a weird choice again to include Fritz and Eric and the Father's Day thing, but there was some weird niceness about this, right? Am I nuts in saying that?
No. I think because you saw that, I actually think that his happiness is quite genuine in that moment. As much as it's in the ring, I think he's thinking, good job on the match. Well done. You really done what we wanted this match to do. So I actually think his happiness is genuine, Fritz's. And then something we talked about the night is just how iconic the Iron Claw is as a finisher and why it works so well. It's just, remember reading that the Mick Foley book years ago now, but like he talks about that, right, with the mandible claw, like you can do it to anybody. You can do it to someone big, you can do it to someone small, and the Iron Claw is the same thing. And then in this match, you get that great, I'd have to watch it again to try and spot it, but like just in the moment watching it, not clear where Harley blades himself, but he does. So you've got this great visual, the Iron Claw in his head, and it looks like his head's about to pop like a melon or something, because he's just got blood coming down over his face at the same time.
Such incredible visual, the claw and all the Von Erichs as well, aren't the people don't necessarily mention all the time. They've all actually got massive hands.
Yes.
So it really like adds to the belief that like, oh yeah, I imagine a guy who just has massive hands and wild tendon strength. That's gonna really hurt.
Yeah.
And then you're having that on and the blood just flowing down, like Harley did a heck of a Crimson Mask here. It was just running down like his arm as well. Heck of a visual. There's another match that's absolutely incredible with Fritz Von Erich wrestling Giant Baba in Japan, where they do the same deal and Baba is just bleeding from the Iron Claw. Absolutely incredible visual. But Yeah, dude. I really, really like this. It was probably like the slowest match of the night, but like I got a lot of joy in rewatching it, and I feel like just that moment at the end of the whole, you know, Kevin was there as well.
Mm.
Really was a nice kind of moment there, and it made you feel like the biggest thing, you know, what could have been of David, you know, as NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and David's the one, right, that was sort of. He was viewed as the one with the most promise. Is that?
Yeah.
Like before, obviously all the horrendous tragedies occurred, but like he was the one that they thought was really going to be the one.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely was seen as being the one. I mean, I feel like I remember reading that, his NWA title reign was already kind of like officially locked in
mm.
at the point that he died. So, you know, for them to, you know, sign and seal that definitely says a lot about the NWA, you know, committee at that time, and how good David was and how much everyone had confidence in him being the guy, like to be the babyface to, you know, be touring and going to all the different territories. But yeah, I mean, and that's not shitting on Kerry as well, because I feel like Kerry was amazing in his own way, very different to David. Like both had... I think both in the best way had like this amazing babyface charisma, like a natural, mm-hmm. authentic babyface charisma that so few people have these days.
Mm. Yeah, that kind of homegrown all-American vibe from both of them, being from Texas as well, you know what I mean, adds something to it. Yeah, but it was great. Still a great match.
Yeah. I had a lot of joy rewatching this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then to something completely different again, we fast forward to 1998 WCW Monday Nitro, starting out with the Nitro Girls, which feel like it's such a great thing, so of its time. This took place the 9th of February 1998 in El Paso, Texas. We got Perry Saturn and Ultimo Dragon, two of my favorites of that era of 90s, late 90s WCW. And I thought this was just such a fun little match.
Yeah, and what the other Perry Saturn one we had was him and Goldberg. Was that the last time we saw Perry Saturn?
Yeah, that was it. I think I've had a few Perry ones, because Perry's one of my guys where it's like he so got screwed over when he, you know, came to WWE.
He did.
But was so perfect in WCW. Every time you saw him, he was having just an awesome match. Also a really good run in ECW, might I say, the Eliminators too. Definitely one of my longtime favorites. So more I can get across the Perry Saturn love to the rest of the world, the happier I'll be.
It's kind of shocking because like you would think Vince famously was a big body guy, right? Like he wanted everyone to look at, and Perry Saturn was the most jacked of that cohort who came across. Is that, what do they call them? The New Radicals or something like that?
Yeah, the Radicals.
Oh, the Radicals, sorry. New Radicals is a band.
if only we could have had them coming out, the New Radicals.
I think, honestly, it was probably about the same time. It could have worked. But it's weird that, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of why, like what backstage or what or spots, but Perry Saturn wasn't given more spotlight and more to do in WWE. But, yeah, great match. Ultimo Dragon. Apart from having just a fantastic name, just throwing the word dragon into any name works for me.
It's like, dude is so ahead of his time. Like, if people haven't seen, you know, Ultimo Dragon from, like, that peak sort of, like, mid-90s period onwards, he is so, so great. And I feel like this really showed off a lot of that. And also, like, so good to see a dude like Perry Saturn and Ultimo Dragon, who are each... very distinctly different wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
But that contrast of it, I think, really made this work in a fun way. And also, like, this wasn't, like, the biggest, like a big deal kind of match or anything that was, like, promoted really ahead of time or a pay-per-view match or anything like that. This is just, like, a random-ass Nitro match, which is what I really loved about Nitro and Thunder during this time. It's, like, you just get random matches that are just there to be good matches. And, like, it is filler, and I guess that's also how I used it on this night. Like, let's just chuck this in here as a little something fun before we get to our main event. But, man, if all the filler we can get in wrestling is as good as this, I'll be a happy man.
Well, see, I have a sort of a hot take, which is that, like, you know how good a show and or a company's doing when their mid-card is filled with, say, stuff like this, where, you know, when your mid-card is of this standard, then you're in really, really good shape to have, because, you know, almost any major promotion can have a really good main event, right? Because you're always going to have, or should hopefully be able to afford, five or six top people who can put on the main event. But the real tell is, what's the mid-card like and what's your opener like? So for something like this to be in the mid-card, you know, just as you say, on a random TV show, that's when, to me, that is what I enjoy as well. That, sure, it's not a pay-per-view match. It's not the main event. It's not that. That's fine. But I'm also not, for example, okay, let's flip it around this way. If I was in attendance, I wouldn't be like, oh, great, I can go to the bathroom now, you know, and get a drink. I don't really care about this. I'd be like, oh, no, I'll wait till this is over because this will be good. You know, it'll keep my bum in the seat to watch it.
Yeah, and I think it says something really good about the I had a lot of love for the WCW fans, and it feels like, in a sense, that WCW fan, as soon as WCW went out of business, they just, like, left wrestling altogether. They were just like, all right, we're done with wrestling now. But the magical thing about the WCW fans was they reacted to wrestling, you know, regardless of whether a dude had been, like, built up or, you know, had a catchy entrance theme or, you know, had a bunch of, like, introduction vignettes or promo time or, you know, all this stuff that it basically dictates today of whether a guy's gonna, you know, get a good reaction or get crickets. WCW fans at the end of the day were just there for wrestling no matter what. Like, so you could have dudes like this where it's like, you know, I don't know their level of familiarity with a Perry Saturn or as part of Raven's Flock at this point or, you know, like Ultimo Dragon. But, like, these fans were just like, fuck yeah, wrestling. We're here for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The only person who's like that currently, like in a major promotion that I've seen, like what you're talking about, is sort of what happened in the last 12 months with Io Sky. Yeah, Shirai, is I still believe, like, they didn't really intend to give her any kind of push in WWE. It's that she's consistently the best wrestler in the entire company, basically. And the fans just started reacting to the work that she was doing and they decided to run with it. But apart from that, you're right. If you don't have the rest of the whole kit and caboodle, you don't really get far anymore. Certainly not in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's an unfortunate thing, I think. Like, and you do see it in both companies, like in AEW too, where dudes who haven't been set up for success with, like, a bunch of promo time or whatever it is, like, those fans are going to basically sit on their hands for them until they're given a reason not to. Whereas, like, these fans, just, like, regardless, if you're, like, really good at wrestling, they'll react to you. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is. It is. Good for the wrestlers.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And also happy to see Perry Saturn getting a win here, which I wasn't necessarily expecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy for him. Perry Saturn with hair as well. I think the last couple have had this era. You often forget that Perry had the hair when he grew it out.
True. No, that's true, actually. The last, certainly Goldberg one, he's bald.
Yeah. But, all right, then we have our main event here, a match, symbolic wrestling dads rather than literal wrestling dads. But this is another match where when I was, like, thinking this up, which, as I mentioned, was, like, it was a fun thing to try to do, to come up with matches that kind of resonate in a wrestling dads kind of manner. And I thought, all right, for Japanese wrestling, this is it. This is the one that I have to play. Again, ended up being a bit of a long match, but I still absolutely loved it. So Kenta Kobashi and famed protege Kenta, who was his namesake, against Kensuke Sasaki and protege Katsuhiko Nakajima, and This took place in Pro Wrestling Noah. Great Voyage 2008, June 14th in Yokohama. And yeah, again, this just gave me so much joy to get to rewatch, but also to get to rewatch in all of y'all's company.
Mm. Exactly what I guess you'd expect with these four men, just some brutal strikes, sweat flying off people from chops. Great Kenta, this great era of Kenta, the young, the perfect young punk, upstart, arrogant, but still so good wrestler. What a great match.
It was just a fun one to, like, I feel like maybe now a few wrestling clubs in, we've had a bit of Pro Wrestling Noah across the board, and I guess, like, this is kind of that real peak period, maybe the end of the peak glory days, I guess. Like, those glory days, looking back, kind of really were with the last days of Kobashi. And obviously, after, you know, like, Misawa passed away, Noah went through some tough times. So this was probably like the last of the peak, I guess, when you're looking at it that way.
Mm.
But that, like, mid-2000s, early 2000s period of Noah, just some of the best wrestling you'll ever see in the history of the world. And yeah, I feel like just four so interesting dynamic characters here as well. Like, both young guys are not really playing like the respectful young guy role very much. Like,
nope.
They're both there just ready to anger the senpai or veteran on the other side any which way they can. And the daddy on each side is not there to be fucked with in any sense.
Nope.
And so it just creates such a wonderful dynamic that, you know, it, in some ways it just sort of like, it just keeps coming around, but it just gets better and better and better. And yeah, for a match this long, I also was quite heartened by how much it seemed like everyone like stayed into the match like all the way through, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah, and it's funny too, like, it's a good period. You're talking about it being a golden period. It's good because you've got Kenta and, well, not sorry, not Kenta, Kobashi. Kobashi's older, but he's not so old that he's not, do you know what I mean? He's fading, really. Like, he can still, when he has to lay the smack down on people, he does. And so it's that great thing of, like, they're not too old and these guys aren't too inexperienced. They're all in a really nice spot in terms of capability and how they can go, if that makes sense. So that's why you get such a good match out of it. Like, if Kobashi's 3 or 4 years older, maybe it's not quite as good from his, you know, just depending. So it's like, that's the other thing I enjoy about it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely towards the end of Kobashi, like, in terms of his career.
Mm.
I feel like he hung it up. Let me have a little look here. So this one took place in 2008. I feel like, all right, this isn't helping me here, but he definitely retired not long after this match. And I think he did a really, like, he hung it up, like you're saying, before he was at the point where he couldn't go anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think is it's a really good thing when that happens, because you don't get that very often in professional wrestling. But I watched this and I was like, for my expectations of kind of like older age Kobashi, like, this blew those expectations out of the water. I forgot how like awesome and hard hitting he still was.
Yeah, and to your point though, like, there's a version of Kobashi's career where he goes longer and he's in tag teams and all he does is come in and do some chops, hit a burning lariat, and then tag back out. Do you know what I mean? He could have done that, could have coasted on that. But he's doing a lot more than that here. And, I mean, how red his chest gets from the slaps and the chops. Quite something by the end of it as well.
Yeah. He officially wrapped it up in 2013. So he lasted a little bit after this, but not too much longer.
And this was, sorry, what year was this? 2008?
2008.
Right. So, yeah. So even then, like, if this is, let's say, 3 years later, do you know what I mean? 2 years before his retirement or something. Like, he still got it here. He absolutely still got it.
Yeah. And like you say, it's so good to see Kenta at just this, like, peak young dickhead.
Yeah.
And also just mind-blowing to see Nakajima as great as he was, as young as he was too.
I don't know whether Kent is playing into this or this is just my, like, watching, but, like, the haircut, I don't know, maybe it's just of the time, but the haircut that Kenta has and just his vibe is very, like, young punk Yakuza kind of vibe, you know, the disrespectful, wild Yakuza who's trying to be kept in check by, like, the old, more respectful boss or the old, more respectful enforcer. But you know this young guy's going to get you in trouble because he's going to fly off the handle and pick off more than you can chew. And the way in which Kenta picks on someone and then just gets smacked into the floor by a lariat or a chop or something or a kick, so brutal. It's so fun to watch, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it certainly doesn't stop him from keeping on.
Nope.
Keeping on coming back.
Doesn't learn his lesson. Does not learn his lesson.
Oh, man. So good. And yeah, I guess all this was the perfect way to end our Father's Day thing of the perfect, you know, father and son. If not literal, at least, you know, still father and son to me, damn it.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Well done.
Yeah, dude. Well, thank you so much for getting a chat about it. It's nice to do a little debrief, I reckon.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Just extend our wrestling club joy even further.
Yes. And
encourage others to
exactly.
come.
Yeah, we've got a little community going there, which always makes me so happy.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks again, man. And I'll let you get out of here. But yeah, I'll hopefully see you soon. If not, I'll definitely hopefully see you at our next wrestling club.
Hell yeah!
All right. See you later, my dude. Science. All right. Oh, that was so good. Thanks again to Joe for chopping it up on our playlist summary. And now I feel like it is time for us to jump back into the night that was at the conclusion, and when we are all good and significantly drunker than I am now, to go around the room and see what everyone who was still there at that point, what their thoughts were, what their favourite match was of what we just discussed. Let's see what we got. Starting out with Joe. So we saw a lot of things tonight. We started out with some great Joshi stuff. We got some Von Erichs. We got some Dusty and Dustin. Of course, Buzz Sawyer, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, Roddy Piper. Can we just say the best match is that hype video? Man. dude, and then finishing up with Kenta Kobashi and Kenta against Kensuke Sasaki and Katsuhiko Nakajima in maybe the best big tough dad versus young punk kid match of all time. What was your favourite, my friend?
I'll select the Joshi match just as to stay on my brand.
For consistency.
Just because of the legends involved. Yeah, I'll go with that one.
So this is Akira Hokuto and Kyoko Inoue against Aja Kong and Bull Nakano. Heck of a match.
Unbelievable, yeah.
What was it about it specifically that spoke to you this time?
The pace of the match, the innovation in the match, and something you mentioned in it, they'll have a move, counter move, but then a counter to a counter.
Mm.
So someone will avoid a finishing move, but then get countered from something else. So avoiding Aja Kong's spinning back fist only to get clobbered in the back of the head.
Mm.
And still, yeah, so that I'll go with that one.
It's like they learned from this, but they still didn't learn from this thing.
There's levels to this shit, baby. That's what they're saying.
So good. Man, this just keeps going. We got this in the background. They ain't stopping. What do we got, my friend? What was your favorite thing?
probably Perdidas versus Blue Panther and Black Panther.
Oh man, I almost forgot about that somehow. Yeah. The Lucha Dads match, Lucha Dads and Sons.
Yeah, it just had everything you need. Blue Panther is just very entertaining to watch and so much cool lucha.
Can I ask good if lucha you've thing. Seen Máscara Dorada in his previous incarnation here as Panterita Del Ring Jr.?
I hadn't seen him in this incarnation before.
Yeah, so good. Would recommend. Well, it makes me very happy to hear. Anytime anyone gives some admiration to Blue Panther, I'm a happy man. Thank you. Abby, what was yours?
Yeah, I think I agree. The Blue Panther was so good. I just love anytime I see like that stage come up, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a good one. And yeah, just the so much athleticism and also like showmanship, like it just got me real hyped.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible not to be hyped when Blue Panther just does this, like, I can't believe I pulled that off.
It's and the so car awesome. Battery.
And the car
battery advertising.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. Thanks so much, guys.
Liv?
Yeah.
Okay.
James, what do you got?
Ruddy Piper and Mad Dog, I think. You can't go past a chain match, can you?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And a collar, you know, chain collar. It's great.
I got to give credit on that one. Almost was not going to include that. I was talking to Joe on the podcast about it the other week, and we watched... I sent him the links to these hype videos, and he was like, dude,
the hype videos, like, of the lead-up to it are, like, you know... probably better than the match itself, but it was great.
Can I ask which was your favorite of the hype videos in that case? Because there was I don't think I can pick a favorite child amongst those. What about you?
Well, it's the two moments. It's the random people walking in the background. That's great. But also, like, when Mad Dog is just walking through the water, like, pointlessly. It's like, what is going on here? So good. It's great. Yeah.
One of my real favorite moments that Joe drew attention to was the start of it, when Buzz is just doing these weird stretches where he just feels like he just wants to show his butt.
Yeah, it's like twerking almost. It's like slow twerks.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. Over here. What do we got as our favourite thing of the evening, guys?
I think I'd have to agree with Mad Dog getting in a brown creek and hitting a tree with a chain for his, you know, training regimen. And then I think he had a sip of it too at one stage.
Yeah, he was like,
"So that's gonna improve your fortitude for sure." Having that inside you, yeah, or death.
Yeah, I'd say mine's that hype video, and then the Chop Daddies at the end. They were
Chop Daddies,
Chop Zaddies,
yeah.
Chop Zaddies.
Yep. Right. It just finished on the screen. It was Kenta and Kobashi versus Sasuke and Nakajima, who I didn't even recognize as Nakajima. I'm like, who's this young guy, Chris? He's like, Nakajima. I'm like, fucking Nakajima. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh! Because he's like 17 in this match and kicking the shit out of everyone. And it was fantastic. That was, like, I'm always, like, a Kenta match is always just going to be by default probably the match that needs to be beaten. But then they were just doing all the things I love in wrestling, just absolutely chopping and kicking the hell out of each other, and I love it.
So I agree with you, Brad. That was officially my favourite match of the evening, like just barely beating out the Dusty and Dustin one, because, you know, obviously how much love I had for that with Terry Funk and everything. But yeah, dude, there's a point in that one where you're just like, this is getting kind of repetitive, but I think that's making it even better. Like, we just got dads slapping one another in the titties. We just got the young boys kicking the shit out of one another, and it just kept happening and kept getting better. And, yeah, man, just dad dicking each other off. Like, it was the best thing ever. I loved it. Yeah. Ding, ding. Thank you, everyone. Wrestling Club. I think tonight was a success. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, there we are. That was Wrestling Club 13. Happy Father's Day at the Scratch. Thank you so much to everyone there on the night that was. If any of y'all happened to be listening to this back, thank you for your attendance and for being such a part of a wonderful evening. It made me so happy to be able to do it. And then thank you as well to all of y'all listening to this in your ear holes right now. It means a lot to me to try to bring you guys in, to be part of the wrestling club, to be part of this deal. That's why I try to put this stuff in, you know, here in audio form in the podcast, because I know, you know, a lot of people, it's probably not too practical to get to Brisbane, Australia to catch Wrestling Club, but hopefully I can do a little something to try to transport you there in spirit. But no, I have a lot of fun doing this thing, and it makes me really happy to get to share my passions with other folks and get to nerd out about it all together. So yeah, fun time had by me at least. But yeah, guys, I guess this is, episode 84 of the podcast. Hopefully we'll be back on track in the near future to get caught up on some more of the match of the week stuff. As mentioned, I recorded a whole episode with David last week to get caught up on two ones that, might I say, fantastic podcast, maybe one of my best yet. We had some great stuff. There was a literal part where I spat my water at something that David said, but sadly the audio was not recording, so here's what it is. We'll see what we can do to fix that up. I'd like to say a big thank you again to you guys, to everyone that supports, everyone that supports in a financial sense of buying the things, of buying the, you know, my art or prints of my art or t-shirts or whatever it might be at christhings.com.au. Please know I very much appreciate it, and it gives me the ability to keep doing this as a full-time job, which honestly means so much to me. Also thank you so much just to everyone who supports in any sense by listening to this, by, you know, recommending, you know, this weird niche podcast to a friend, or just, you know, for, you know, following along on Instagram and, you know, chiming in and sharing the things and, you know, having supportive comments or messages here and there. You know, always just, that's what keeps me going, guys. So thank you. Thank you to the great team at Social Suplex for, you know, allowing me to do this thing. You know, giving me the platform to spurt my nonsense. Socialsuplex.com, home to this podcast as well as a variety of other rad wrestling podcasts, from One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, Imps WWE Adventure, All Things Elite. I think there might be an AEW match recommendation podcast. At least there was at some point. We've got the Trish and Sarah podcast, Tunnel Talk, all the things. And also, thank you so much to anyone who donates. You know, I think that's a thing as well that I hear people do from time to time. So even just a few bucks here and there, you know, shout me a coffee or whatnot. I see that come through, and it makes me, it gives me a big old smile. So thank you so much, anyone who does that every now and then. I think that's about us for this episode. Perhaps stay tuned after the outro for a little Easter egg that I think will put a smile on your dial. guys, this has been the Wrestling Club. This has been a week in my life. And this is Wrestling Art with Chris Things. You guys, make sure you have a wonderful week. Please feel welcome to swing me a message and say hello if you ever would like to. But thanks, team. I'll see you later. Bye.
Systems operating within normal design parameters.
Time for me. I made a terrible mistake by picking Arn Anderson to be my partner, and it cost me a broken arm. But I can take that. Because if you're gonna ride, you gotta learn to fall. But then you gotta pick yourself back up, get back on him, and go straight forward. And sooner or later, somebody or something's gonna step in your way, and you just mow them over because that's all you know. Arn Anderson comes out here. Talks about intestinal fortitude. Well, you ain't got a gut in your puny body. And you will get yours coming, but this Wednesday night at the Clash of Champions, Terry Funk, Bunkhouse Buck, I want you to know one thing. This man standing beside me right now is more powerful than anything you have ever seen in your entire life. And why? Because it's a father's love for his son. It's a son's love for his father. So Colonel Parker, you tell your boys we're coming. You tell them hell's coming, and I'm coming with him.
All right, you gotta love that. Dusty, you're gonna be back in the ring with the questions I'm asked by fans as I travel around the country. Dusty's not been in the ring for a while. Is he gonna be ready for a test like this?
Gee, let me tell you what it's real about, baby. It's about family. It's about blood. It's about every black, white, green, yellow person walking the face of the earth, baby. That's what it's all about. Emotions carry you. Emotions, no matter what your age, carry you to do things. It is a pleasure to ride this lightning bolt with my son. It is a pleasure to ride this lightning bolt into the heartland of America. It is a pleasure to ride this lightning bolt on the Clash of Champions. It is a pleasure to kick somebody's booty on television around the world. Colonel Parker, we talking Bunkhouse Buck. We talking about that egg-sucking dog, Terry Funk. We talking about the gentlemen, real plainly, you have an opportunity of a lifetime. You have an opportunity at greatness, but you will have to prove that this old out of shape, spindly legged, big butted boy from Austin, Texas, can have his butt whipped in public if you will. situation. They take my carpet shifting situation and they can take that job and shove it, baby.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.